Now, another question is about Ismat-e Anbiya or the innocence of the prophets.
Yes.
And this is defended and supported by this verse. La yasbikuna bil qawli wa bi amrihi ya'malun in Surah Anbiya about the prophets. That they do not transgress what they are told and they do accordingly. Now the promised Messiah has said about Prophet Adam that mera to yakeen hai ki Hazrat Adam ki istidad mein kisi qadar koi tasawul tha jab bhi shaitan ko waswaq ka kabu mil gaya wallah agar ise Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa ka sa jawr kamal khada kiya jata to shaitan ka kuch bhi bas na chalta.
Right,
this is one. And about Prophet Joseph, the promised Messiah says he suffered because he said uzkurni inda rabbika, that he used intercession or what we call in our language safarish to the fellow prisoner who was going to be released.
That now let's first decide the issue of Adam. Let's first decide the issue of the sin of Adam.
No, because I want to mention about three prophets which have
no,
been
no, let's first decide one after the other. You know, first, please let's decide the issue of, and finish with the issue of sin of Adam as mentioned here. Why to refer to Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam when there is a categorical statement of the Holy Quran itself, Asa Adamu Rabbahu Faghawa. The literal meaning of this is that Adam committed sin against God and went astray. That is very, very clear statement. So the question which you should have asked according to me would be, that is a valid question, that on the one hand the Holy Quran says that positive, in positive terms, that Adam did commit a sin against God and went astray. And on the other hand, the Holy Quran makes us believe that the prophets are innocent. Why this contradiction? Is that the question which you wanted to ask?
Yes.
Yes. So
but this
right?
is in conflict with the concept of Ismat-e Anbiya.
That's why I understand. I mean, this is what I have put forward in clear terms. That it seems to be, there seems to be an internal contradiction in the claim of the Holy Quran and the statement, other statements of the Holy Quran. On the one hand, the prophets do not commit sins. On the other hand, the Holy Quran itself relates certain incidents in their life which appear to be sins. And here in case of Adam, it says in so many words, he committed the sin against God and went astray. But at the same time, the Holy Quran also draws our attention to this fact that lam najid lahu azma, we forgave him and did not consider it as a sin on his part because lam najid lahu azma, we did not find any willful act, willful intention on his part to commit sin. That is to say, in itself, although that act was a sin, but it was done inadvertently. It was not done in the spirit of a sinner, in violation of something very clearly. So when the Holy Quran itself has explained the situation, then we find there is no contradiction. Only our definition of sin is to be now refined and reshaped. In view of this, the definition of sin would not be just to violate any law of God, but it will be to violate a law of God willfully, in rebellion against the law, understanding the full implication, is the sin which can never be committed by prophets. But the sin of negligence, the sin of inadvertent acts, that may be committed by prophets, but very rarely and so occasionally, so rarely, that hardly there are two or three such incidents which are recorded. Even that, even if it is described as sin, happens very rarely in the lifetime of prophets, and such incidents, because they are conspicuous, so conspicuous, because prophets generally don't do such things. So they are recorded, and the explanation is given by the Holy Quran to defend their cause, to defend their case. Now next, please.
Now about Prophet Joseph, the Prophet Messiah says, he suffered he suffered incarceration in the prison.
Pardon?
He suffered imprisonment.
Yes.
Because he told to the fellow prisoner before he was released, Uzkurni inda Rabbika, make a mention of me to your Lord.
Yes.
And that was the reason that he went into prison, because he,
he couldn't have written that was the reason why he went to the prison, because this thing happened in the prison.
No, he actually, his imprisonment was prolonged because...
This is the statement of the Holy Quran again. This is exactly the statement of the Holy Quran, that when Hazrat Joseph said this to the servant... he was a servant in the court of the king. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Joseph said it to one of the servants of the king who was imprisoned at that time, who was is a fellow prisoner with him, that when you are released, as I see according to your dream, you would be released, then remember me to your Lord, that is to the king, because you have access to him. And when you remember him in good way, naturally he would help me and he would release me from the prison. That was the spirit.
But so God didn't like it.
The Holy Quran says that he forgot it.
Yes.
Because Satan made him forget. And this is why Joseph remained for a few more years to tarry in the prison. Now what is the question based on this statement?
Actually, the Prophet Messiah has said that Prophet Joseph suffered because he tried to seek intercession of a fellow prisoners to recommend to the king that he is a very nice man.
Well, as far as that statement is concerned, you first refer to the book. I will read it myself and then I will be able to explain, because I don't have that portion in my mind. When you refer to the Holy Quran, obviously it immediately comes to my mind, but I can't say that of every part of Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam's books, that whichever para you refer to, it would immediately appear to me. So unless I have seen that para, I will not be able to explain the true import of what he is saying. Where it is clearly stated, and whatever Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam has said would be within the four walls of this statement, because it will be based on this statement.
And likewise, the Prophet Messiah said about Prophet Jonah that he suffered to stay
in the belly of the fish,
the fish stomach, because he became grouchy and disgruntled and frustrated and left his people.
This is exactly what the Holy Quran has said again. Why don't you start from the foundation instead of going to the explanations made by the Holy, by Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam? Why don't you start at the beginning? The Holy Quran says that it was such an act on his part that had he not sought forgiveness from Allah, and had Allah not forgiven him, he would remain as such till the day of resurrection. Allah shows some display here. But the fact is that when Allah shows displeasures at certain acts of His chosen ones, it is not essential that that act is by ordinary standard a great sin. It is directly related to the expectations. You know, on the white cloth, the slightest spot would be a blemish. But an ordinary dirty cloth, such a spot would not even be noticed by anybody. There are certain acts on the part of ordinary people which can be defined as acts of goodness, but those, if they are part of the character of higher people, they are blemishes. So all this should be understood in that atmosphere of relativity. Otherwise, you will never be able to reach the truth. Those acts on the part of such prophets which have been spoken with such displeasure by Allah in the Holy Quran, if such an act was committed by you, nobody would ever take notice of this as having, you know, been anything wrong, there haven't been anything wrong with it at all. Even if you accept such a decision of God with in the spirit as Jonah did, but you do not renegade, you do not speak against God, it is said that somebody has stood the test, you know, he has passed the test, he kept his faith alive. You commend such a person, but in Jonah, it was something which, displeased Allah very much, because he expected much more from Jonah, much, much more. So, in comparative terms, those are declared as sins. Don't judge them as sins according to the ordinary explanations of sin by ordinary human beings.
I got one question about Prophet Joseph again, but a different question. Now, in Surah Yusuf, the Holy Quran says, وَلَكَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ
وَهَمَّا بِهَا
لَوْلَا رَعَى بُرْحَانَ رَبَّهُ.
Yes.
Now, what is the kamal of, or actually Hazrat Yusuf, I mean, he did something after seeing the Burhan of his God. I say if...
No. This is what is wrongly translated. Here, now listen to my translation. It depends on which part of the verse you associate with which part of the verse. There are three pieces to this verse, and they can be studied in a way that first two pieces are related, interconnected, and the third piece is separate. Or the second two pieces are interconnected, and the first piece is separate. I look at this verse in the light, in the former light. That is to say, now let me translate it first. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ, that is one statement. وَهَمَّ بِهَا is the second part of the statement. لَوْلَا رَا بُرْحَانَ رَبِّ is the third. لَوْلَا رَا بُرْحَانَ رَبِّ, that is the third part of the statement. People generally commit the mistake of associating the first two parts of this statement as against the third, which is they keep separate. And the entire meaning is distorted then. If you read it as I read it, then it will be a completely different picture which will be painted. The meaning in the first instance is, as you have said, she decided to sin, commit sin with him. He also decided to commit sin with her. But in the meantime, after having taken this decision, Allah, that is the third part of the statement, Allah showed him some signs from him, and in view of those signs, he was rendered, you know, incapable of committing sin. This is not what the Holy Quran says. It is against the expression of the word لَوْلَا رَا بُرْحَانَ رَبِّ. As I read it, it means وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ, she had decided to commit sin. وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا رَا بُرْحَانَ رَبِّ. Had he not seen earlier Allah's signs in his favor, he also might have decided in committing sin. This creates a completely different picture. Hamma Deha is attached not to the first statement, but to the second, the third one. This would be read now, Hamma Behi, finished. Hamma Deha Lola Ra Burhana Rabbehi, he
might, he also might have committed, decided to commit sin, had he not seen signs of his Lord earlier. So the lawla, the expression lawla, makes us inclined to this much more than the first attitude towards this verse. If you knew Arabic, then you'll understand what I mean. Lawla means had it not happened. Not that there and then Allah showed him the signs. It is referring to some earlier signs of favors of Allah to him. This is why he is held as honorable in the sight of Allah. This is why Allah says, tells that this is Ahsanul Qasas. This is the best narration that can be made. Most beautiful narration. If you read it as you have read, as ordinarily these verses are translated, then how can you call it the best of narrations? Even a prophet, which is supposed to be such a chaste prophet, as he stands as an example for others, this is the extent of his piety, that he has made a firm decision of committing sin, but only forcibly from Allah he is led away. And this is the best of narrations, you think? It can only be termed as best of narrations if these verses are read in the light as I have shown you.